take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29. We'll read verses 6 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 29, verses 6 through 11. Proverbs chapter 29, verses 6 through 11. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And let's pray. Father, Lord, you've done so much for us here. Today the altars were full and people were being saved and the baptistry was busy. Lord, our hearts were challenged and so much that we need yet to do. Lord, thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the consistency of the preacher that you've given us. Father, please fill him with your power tonight. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives so we could reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this evening is, I've entitled it, Contention. Contention. This is a preventative maintenance type of a sermon. I don't know of any contention that exists between our people right now. Baseball season's over. But we are getting ready to come into more sports season, so this may help us to get along the way. It's a bit of a Bible study. It is not my favorite type of preaching. It is my favorite type of learning. I love to sit and listen to this type of a sermon. The average person may not, but I want to talk to you. Each point of tonight's sermon, I'm going to do each one an injustice. There's no doubt in my mind about that, because I want to say what I want to say, and I don't have enough time. Every point of tonight's sermon deserves a whole sermon on that particular point. But the sermon tonight is on the subject of contention. I'll read to you again Proverbs 29:9. It says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The Bible talks about two different people here that are involved in this contention. And there's contention between two people, a wise man and a foolish man, that God is saying, whether you're wise or you're not wise and you're involved in contention, there's turmoil there. And so let's all listen this evening very carefully. What is contention? I've analyzed the word a little bit, studied the word a little bit. Contention is it's debate to the point of coming to blows. There are virtually three different types of contention, or maybe better yet, there are three levels of contention. There's a time when we verbally come to blows, which then usually leads that we emotionally come to blows, which leads eventually to physically coming to blows. In other words, we say something, and then that hurts feelings, which could ultimately lead to putting your dukes up and wanting to fight. So what is contention? It's debate that could lead us to coming to virtual physical blows. Debate that brings discord. Debate that brings dissension. Fussing that brings strife. Fussing that includes some selfish ambition, and you'll see that as the evening continues. Contention, though, is not always bad. Contention is not always that. There are some things about which we should contend, or for which we should contend. Sometimes contention can be good, but it's the right kind of contention for the right things. For instance, law keepers contend with the law breakers. And how do we do that? By keeping the law. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. What it's telling us is, when you and I keep the law, that is our way of contending with the law breakers. You young people in the Christian school, every time you keep the rules, you are helping to contend with the rule breakers. We should contend for the faith. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." In other words, we're to stand up for the faith of Jesus Christ. That includes the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and salvation by grace through faith and all those things that are included in that thing called the faith. Hey, we should contend for the purity of the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." In other words, somebody was willing to stand up for the gospel. And we're to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should contend for the house of God. The Bible says in Nehemiah 13:11, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken?" We should contend about the misuse of Sunday. Nehemiah 13:17 says, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day or the holy day?" The Sabbath day is now Sunday in the New Testament church. We should contend about the unequal yoke for our children. In other words, hey, parents, you ought to want your kids to marry right. And your kids get to heading down a path and want to marry a lost person or someone that's not right with God. You've got to work at that thing. There needs to be a bit of a stand that will be uncomfortable. But it says in Nehemiah 13:25, "And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for yourself." It's a big issue. You want your children to marry right. You see, not all contention is wrong or bad. It's got to be done in the right way in regard to the right subjects. Now, let's talk, though, about contention in that negative light. Let's talk about contention that's inappropriate, contention that becomes sin. Stay with me now. Number one, contention is the product of pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." There the Bible's telling us, when there is contention, someone is exercising pride. Remember the verse that we started is the text verse earlier. The Bible said, whether you be wise or foolish, you're still at ill rest if there is contention. Now, somebody, when there is contention, has some pride that's being exercised in their life. Contention, sometimes, is a result of an overbearing ego. Contention is the result of a lack of humility. Hey, humility is a healer. You'd be amazed at what just staying calm, staying relaxed for a moment can do when contention is trying to raise its ugly head and cause division between you and someone. Notice this verse. It says, "Only by pride cometh contention." In other words, if there's contention, there's pride in it somewhere. It says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Point number one, contention is the product of pride. Point number two, contention is produced out of foolish lips. Contention is produced, it comes forth out of foolish lips. Proverbs 18:6 says this, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." Pride in the heart activates foolishness of the lips. That's what the Bible's teaching. Pride in the heart activates a foolishness of the lips. That can be, it can start out where it is verbal contention, and then there are feelings hurt, so it becomes emotional contention. And finally, it leads, if it's let go, to actual physical contention of coming to blows. Foolish words make things worse, not better. Guard your words. Guard your lips. Hey, everything you're thinking doesn't need to be said. You say, "Well, I'm just one of those that speak my mind." Well, don't speak too much. I really don't think God intended us to say everything that we think. I think we need to get it under control. contention coming to blows. So, verbal blows lead to emotional blows that can result with physical blows. So, I said number one, contention is the product of pride. Listen, before I go any further, married couples, you listen to me tonight. You say, well, this is the kind of sermon to help monitor the unity and the right spirit in a church. This is the kind of sermon that will monitor friendships. And it will monitor marital relationships and relationships between sons and daughters and parents. And contention exists in our world. And our world's getting worse and worse about this. So contention is a product of pride. Secondly, contention is produced out of foolishness. Number three, contention is offensive. Contention is offensive. It's offensive to people. Let me read you a verse. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Contention offends. Contention offends contention's target. Boy, when you're contentious with someone and you have verbally or emotionally or physically started a contentious situation with them, that's offensive to the target. That hurts the target. But contention between Christians, that is offensive to the world. When two Christians are being contentious with each other, lost man looks at that and says, phooey on Christianity. Look, they didn't get that out in the world. They did not come to the church to get that kind of behavior. They'd like to escape it. Contention offends. Contention offends contention's target. Contention between two Christians offend the lost. Contention among Christians also offends the non-contentious Christians. You know, if two people want to fuss and fight in the church and not get along in the church, they say, well, that's our business. Well, wait a minute. The rest of us have to live with you too. That's offensive to the non-contentious Christians. So, we said, number one, contention is the product of pride. Number two, contention is produced from foolish lips. Number three, contention is offensive to many. Number four, contention produces reproach. Contention produces reproach. The Bible says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Notice, reproach shall cease. See, contention among God's people brings reproach to the church's testimony. Contention, listen folks, I got to tell you, contention between a husband and wife can hurt the testimony, number one, of the family, your family, but it can hurt the church family. I don't know of anybody that this has happened to, but may I mention, if the police have to be called to some, you know, two Christians' home, this husband and wife are fussing and fighting, that's real good for the police to hear about somebody that goes to your church. Contention brings reproach. Contention brings reproach. Contention is a unity destroyer. When you remove contention, strife will cease. Now, this verse says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. So, you could say, well, you know, get rid of the scorner. Really, that's not what God's plan was. God's plan was that the contentious get it under control.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, just shoot them. Well, God rather we fix them. You need to get fixed now. So, we said contention is the product of pride. Number two, contention is produced out of foolish lips. Number three, contention offends people. Number four, contention produces reproach. Number five, contention is common around the liquor crowd. And I suppose you can throw in the people that misuse drugs. Proverbs 23, verse 29 and 30 says this, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that carry along the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Now what it's talking about here, you get around the liquor crowd, there's going to be contentions. Drunks produce contention. And that's commonly known. I think most people know that. People get that liquor in their system and they lose control of themselves and they don't use good sense. They lose control of their mouth. They lose control of their emotions. They lose control of their body. Coming to blows physically. Why? Because of liquor. Coming to blows. Why? Because of the emotional. Your emotions get out of control and then you verbally say things that you should not say. Oh, but wait. A Christian who causes contention then is acting like a drunk. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. God is virtually saying to you and to me, when we cause contention as Christians, we are behaving like a drunk. We're out of control. We're out of control. We just say what we want, do what we want, act the way we want, hurt somebody with our words, hurt somebody's emotions. You know, do you care about people's feelings? I know I do. I can hurt people's feelings, but I hate it once I realize I've done it. There are people in this room. I have said something maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, and there are people that could stand and say, preacher came to me and apologized. He didn't handle this right or that right, and he was sorry for it. Do you ever have to apologize? Do you worry about hurting people's feelings? Listen, we need to be careful because that thing of contention, God is teaching us, that is common among the drunks. That is common among the drug abusers. Let's go on. Number 6. A contentious person turns small issues into big issues. Proverbs 26:21 says this, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now, let me read it again. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You see, contentious people are like adding fresh coals to an already burning fire. What are they doing? Making it bigger. Something existed, they came along, had their input, and as a result of it, didn't put the fire out, you made it worse. You added coals on top of an existing fire. Contentious people are like fresh wood being added to an already burning wood pile. That's what this verse is teaching. They take small problems, and rather than trying to minimize those small problems, whether between them and somebody else or between two people, rather than saying, I want to be a peacemaker, they say, I want to be a fire maker. Sometimes they do it, they don't even realize what they're doing, but they do it. Every one of us should not want to add coal to an existing fire of wrong. We should want to minimize, not maximize, problems between people. Speaking of coming to blows, there's this little guy sitting in a restaurant drinking a soda. He was minding his own business when all of a sudden this great big dude comes in and wham, knocks him right off of his stool onto the floor. The big guy says, that's a kung fu chop from China. The little guy thinks, wow. But he gets back up on the stool and continues what he's doing when all of a sudden, whack, the big dude knocks him down again and says, that was a karate chop from Japan. The little guy, not wanting any trouble and thinking this guy is nuts, gets off the floor, grabs his soda, and moves a few seats further down and continues to sip his drink. All of a sudden, pow, without warning, he feels this foot kick him right upside the head, and he goes sprawling to the floor once again. The big dude says with a smile, that's kickboxing from Thailand. The little guy, having had enough of this, gets up, he brushes himself off and quietly leaves. He had been gone for about an hour when he returns without saying a word. The little guy walks up behind the big dude and pow, knocks the big dude off his chair, lays him out cold, unconscious. The little guy looks at the waiter and says, when he comes to, tell him that's a crowbar from Sears. Contention. Where I come from, that's called an equalizer. An equalizer. Contention. Contention. Oh my, it's everywhere. and we ought to learn how to handle it scripturally. Contention is a product of pride. Contention comes forth from foolish lips. Contention is offensive to many. Contention produces reproach. Contention is common around liquor, but it's a spirit out of control. A contentious person turns small issues into bigger issues. They're not fire quenchers, they're fire producers. Number 7, being contentious with God's man could bring you to nothing. You know, one of the hardest things in the world for the preacher to preach are things that have to do with him. But I decided a long time ago I would not ignore that in my ministry. I would not do it because people need to be trained. Isaiah 41:12 says this, "Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught." Now, if you read, and I don't have time to read the whole chapter here, but this is God speaking to Isaiah. God is saying this to Isaiah. Now, listen to it again. This is what God is saying to the preacher, Isaiah. God said, "Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught." God goes on and makes even other promises to Isaiah thereafter. God tells Isaiah that those who are contentious against him will be as nothing. Now, here's what God's teaching. When a contentious person attacks a sincere, peacemaking man of God, God will erase the contentious person's influence. Now remember, you know, you take a preacher and he's sincere and he's honest and he's a peacemaker and he's not contentious. He's not looking to hurt people. If a contentious person attacks that preacher, God said, "Don't you worry, I will erase their influence." They'll end up being a nothing. Let's move on. Number 8, contention strains relationships. It strains relationships. Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle." Whether we're talking, when we talk about a brother offended, whether we're talking about two boys that have the same mom and dad growing up in the same home, or we're talking about two brothers in the church, and so you know, every one of us men in here have the same dad. We have the Heavenly Father. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so I don't know exactly what it's talking about. Blood relatives. Well, I guess we're all blood relatives too, because we're all saved by the same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this applies to everybody in here, I guess, what I need to say. But contention strains relationships. When pride and foolish words cause you to come to blows, either verbally, emotionally, or physically, then fixing that relationship could be hard. The sooner you catch it, the better off you are. Anybody could have a moment of contention verbally. But if those words turn into vicious digs, character assassination, now you've got an emotional contention. If you let go far enough, it'll come to physical contention and coming to blows. And God is saying, winning a brother that has been offended to that degree of contention can be very difficult. It actually talks about, it says here, and their contentions are like the bars of the castle. That contention, it, the bars of the castle are very strong. They're made of iron. And sometimes the wills and the ego and the lack of forgiveness and bitterness can creep in for long. If you're not careful, you'll have contention with somebody and it'll be very hard to fix. And I think you ought to fix it. But I think it can be very hard to fix. Let me remind you what I said. I said, number 1, contention is the product of pride. Number 2, contention is produced out of foolish lips. Number 3, contention offends many people. Number 4, contention produces reproach. Number 5, contention is common around liquor. And when we're contentious, we're behaving like the drunk. Number 6, a contentious person turns small issues into bigger ones. They make bigger fires instead of smaller fires. Number 7, being contentious with God's man could bring your influence to nothing. Number 8, contention strains relationships. You're not going to believe it. I've only got 2 points left. We're almost done. For everybody that's worried, it's 6 minutes till 8. And these last 2 points are 20 minutes each. Number 9. God's Word gives extra attention to warn women about being contentious. God's Word gives extra attention to warn women to be careful about being contentious. Proverbs 21:19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. If you don't believe it, just ask a man who's going through it. He'd rather be in his tree stand than at home with his wife. Come on, you chicken. Leave me up here all alone like that. Proverbs 27:15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Thanks. There are some that are coming around. It's talking about the contentions of a woman, and it's talking about the continual. That's a word that we call harping. It's like the drip, continual drip of rain. Have you ever heard of the old Chinese water torture? What they would do is they would take a man, they would strap him down, face up, handcuff his hands behind his back, and then they'd take like a faucet of water and drip water in his face, one drop at a time. When you get home tonight, put your husband in the bathtub and have him stay there for about an hour with that drip. Drive you nuts. That's what it's talking about. It says in Proverbs 19:13, the foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. That's either water dropping or deer dropping. I don't know which it is. I tried to exegete the scripture, but that one I wasn't clear on. That continual contention will wear, it'll rub you raw. Now, God says, ladies, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Ladies, if you don't have a man around to calm you so your contention does not get out of hand, be careful. You may cause some damaging fights with other people. Those ladies who are strong-willed and those men that are a little more backwards, watch out now. You get yourself in trouble. And I wish ladies could say amen, because there's some of them in here that would be brave enough to say, that's right, preacher. That's right. God's Word gives a little extra attention to ladies not becoming contentious. And you have to especially be careful if your husband's a little more backwards. There are some men that are quiet because it's not worth the fight. That's sad. It's sad that he has to submit to her. It's not supposed to be that way. And you ladies, if your husband every once in a while says, honey, now I want you to calm down about that, you can thank God you got a husband that'll do that for you. Because I know women that don't have a husband to do it for them, so nobody calms them down and they get in messes in the church. Well, I verbally offended you, and now I've emotionally offended you, and some big woman's going to meet me at my office and beat the holy slut out of me now. Contention is a product of pride. Contention is a product of foolish lips. Contention is offensive to people. Contention brings reproach. Contention is common around liquor, and it is the behavior of a drunk. A contentious person turns small issues into big issues. Being contentious with God's man could bring you to nothing. Contention strains relationships, and they're hard to fix. God's Word gives extra attention, warning ladies or women to be careful of their contention. We should not be contentious over living the truth. Titus 3:9 says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contention, striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Folks, we're to share the truth of God, but we're not supposed to stand around and argue with people. Look, tell somebody the truth, and if they want to argue, don't argue it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. That's not what God intended. 1 Corinthians 11:16 says, but if any man seem to be contentious We have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now let me tell you what happened. 1 Corinthians 11:14 says, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? The Bible teaches a man's supposed to keep his hair cut like a man. You're supposed to know the difference between a man and a woman. You can tell that by their hair. You can tell that by the way they dress. But here, it's talking about their hair. So God says, a man's not supposed to have long hair, and then he follows it by saying, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. What that means is, we're not supposed to stand around and argue that. We just tell people what the Bible says, and if they want to argue it, they can argue it with somebody else. But we're the contention, we're not supposed to start a war over it. Don't be contentious toward living right. If God teaches you a certain way to live, don't be offended with that. Don't be offended with the Word of God. There's the verbal. Don't be emotionally wounded because God tells you to change your life. Don't say, I'll fight you over that, God. You shouldn't be that way. We should not be contentious over living the truth. Don't be contentious toward doing good. Don't be contentious toward changing your life for God. Don't fight God. Don't, there's some people actually verbally come to blows with God. I'm not going to do it. They're on the inside. They're wounded emotionally because God said, you're not good enough. You know what? None of us are good enough. He's God. We're sinners. Now, I'm not trying to empty your self-worth. But I just need you to know, don't be offended with God when God tells you to change your life. Don't be contentious over doing right. That's point number 10. Let's do one more review and we're done. I opened with this verse. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Three levels of contention. Verbally, then emotionally, then physically coming to blows. Contention is a product of pride. Contention is a product of our foolish lips. Contention offends people. Contention produces reproach. Contention is a behavior of the drunk. A contentious person turns small issues into big issues. Being contentious with God's man could bring your influence to nothing. Contention strains relationships. God's word gives extra attention to women being careful not to be contentious among each other and among others. Then finally, we should not be contentious over living the truth. Contention. I wish I had time to take every one of those 10 points and give you a 45-minute Bible study on it. It is so interesting what the Bible says about contention. Do you know, as Christians, these are the type of sermons that make us what we're supposed to be. These are the type of sermons that make Christians different than the outside world. Some contention in the outside world oftentimes is praised. There are things that we're to be contentious about. But among Christians, there are some things that we're not to be contentious about. Let's just live.